This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. It's a real pleasure to have back on today's program Mr. M.G. Lohman from Cincinnati, Ohio. Mr. Lohman is Executive Secretary of Circuit Riders Incorporated, and he's a nationally recognized authority on communism and subversion with special expertise in the fields of church, education, and race incitation. Mr. Lohman, glad to have you back with us.
Thank you. I'm always glad to visit with you and your friends on the air.
Mr. Lohman, you spent nearly 2 weeks during June on a speaking tour of Mississippi, telling people in the various local communities throughout the state what they could expect from the summer invasion of college students and others aimed at stirring up racial troubles. Then in mid-July, you visited the state again. Now, why the second visit?
Well, first I want to tell which kind of towns we visited in June. We went to the towns where we knew that for a period of years, liberal left-wingers and identified communists had been creating a climate in which you could have a sustained agitation or sustained rioting incidents. I came and told what was going to happen, and there was going to be trouble. And then I came back in July to see what had been done, by whom, and to see the people and where they're living and with whom. And I wanted to do this before there'd been any chance for a change in the program. In other words, just to let it go on for enough weeks till I could see an unadulterated, accurate sampling of what was going on.
Well, now, just exactly what did you find, Mr. Lohman? Did you visit the so-called trouble areas in Mississippi?
I visited them. I saw students and others who were alleged to be students living on an integrated basis in squalor, filth, under conditions. My dog wouldn't have stayed all night with them in some of these places. I noticed in Greenwood, Mississippi, for example, that persons were living together in squalor, in Negro homes, Negro buildings, rather, in a section of town not frequented by the doctors and the dentists and the bricklayers and carpenters and many others of the Negro community in Greenwood. And I found, according to authorities and town persons and officials, that none of these so-called invaders were living in the good, clean, respectable section among the doctors, dentists, tradesmen, semi-skilled and skilled tradesmen.
In other words, the elements of the substantial Negro community in Greenwood and some of these other Mississippi cities is having very little to do with these outsiders.
Insofar as I was able to learn, the only thing they had to do with them in some instances was to call the authorities and identify who came from out of town as was living with whom, where, and on what street.
Now, Mr. Lohman, you said you came to observe the students at work this second trip. Could you describe what are these people trying to accomplish and how do they go about it?
Well, more than any other thing that I could observe, they were trying to get uninterested persons to go to vote registration places to register. For example, I saw in Greenwood, Mississippi, teams of two calling upon houses from a house to house on a spot call basis. I think mostly on Monday, July 13, 1964, the handbills and circulars were calling upon the Negroes to go to the courthouse in Greenwood for a Thursday, July 16th, 1964 demonstration at the courthouse. Now, I want to call this a fraud. Insofar as I was able to learn from private citizens, from city officials, and from county officials, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, during normal hours, a Negro or a white can go to that courthouse and register to vote without any interference or assistance. If in any town or city in the north, east, or west there was peaceable registration and 75 or 50 or 100 persons came in buses from out of town and got rounded up from some of the unsavory neighborhoods in the town and went to the polling place and called for demonstration and did demonstrate and interfere with the normal activity of the community, the police of the community in the north, east, or west would have ordered them to disband, and if they didn't, they would have arrested them. And that is precisely what should be done. Why should three or four busloads of out-of-town persons come to Greenwood on Thursday, July 16th for a demonstration where there's already free registration?
People, for the most part, who by reason of age or residence, and from that standpoint alone, would not be eligible for voter registration at that particular courthouse.
Well, a lot of the workers are of that category. But if I knew, and thousands of Greenwood persons knew, there was going to be a demonstration incitation at the courthouse on Thursday, July 16th, 1964, why didn't the national news media say there was going to be such a situation? This I don't understand. I believe it is the duty of the news persons to give unslanted news, unslanted for, unslanted against any situation. News should be as true in words as a photograph, an untouched photograph. And I don't think much of the news media is giving news. I don't think they're giving information. I think they're giving an indoctrination. I think that if some group in the news media field would like to have a feature story of great interest, they should go and look for the seamy side of who's doing what to whom in these troubled towns.
These self-appointed summer workers in Mississippi that you had an opportunity to observe close up and firsthand, did many of them display any particular knowledge of Mississippi election laws? For example, weren't they aware in the middle of July that the deadline for registration in the November election had already passed the first week in July?
A guided missile normally does not ask or inquire or show an interest in destination, mode of power, or what's going on. I want to go into this in just a little more depth. Presbyterian Life, the official magazine of the Presbyterian, the Northern Presbyterians, July 15th, 1964, in a feature story said that the most, M-O-S-T, most, of the so-called students who were trained at Oxford, Ohio, at Western College for Women, showed on their questionnaires regarding their religion, most of them said themselves they did not have any religion. Now, what kind of a situation is this when the National Council of Churches and the major Protestant denominations, through the National Council of Churches, finance self-avowed non-believers, agnostics, atheists, or other kinds of persons with no religion? This is a century of opposites. If the National Council of Churches did not know that they had no religion, then the National Council of Churches should not be trusted with the money and the destiny of the Methodist, the Presbyterian, Episcopalian, American Lutheran, and a couple dozen other denominations, money and the destiny of their children.
I wanted to ask you another question about your observations in Mississippi. You visited the areas labeled by the Northern press, at least, as trouble areas. What about all of these incidents that are being reported? It seems like every time there's a fire or somebody throws a rock at someone else in Mississippi or some other southern state, it makes big headlines across the country. Is there substance to all of these reports?
Substance to all of them? Well, any person who stops to think for even a minute would know that if you wanted to burn down a church or burn a house or you wanted to dynamite and destroy, there wouldn't be so many failures. If it's no problem to burn a church when nobody is there. I mean, this thing of finding a milk bottle or a pop bottle, a soft drink bottle with a little bit of inflammable fluid and a rag for a wick, well, I mean, this is an insult to our intelligence. I know enough about persons who want to commit arson that when they start a fire and want a successful fire, there is a successful fire. The fire company isn't there and back to their station house in 6, 8, 10 minutes and have $11 fire.
Are you implying that some of these incidents then might be deliberately staged for their publicity value?
No, sir, I'm not implying. I'm making a flat statement that there are so many fluky fires that I would say that coincidence, when it becomes a pattern, is evidence. If these fires are serious attempts to burn a building, why aren't there some burned buildings?
And yet all of these reports make big headlines throughout the nation when reports of incidents of far greater magnitude come in by the hundreds every day all across the country and no one outside the local community ever hears about them. Why is the national press giving us such close attention?
I wouldn't know why. All I want to say is, beyond the arson situation, which I think is phony in 90-some percent of the cases down here, I would like to say that I am honestly of the belief that if 750 or 800 white students were taken to New York and distributed within 1 week throughout Harlem, and trained persons went back a month later, they would have difficulty finding several hundred of them.
Mr. Lohman, our time has gone by very quickly. Thank you very much for being with us. Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Mr. M.G. Lohman of Cincinnati, Ohio, Executive Secretary of Circuit Riders, Incorporated. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.